there are times in our lives when everything seems so busy, so hectic, sort of planned out for us. And there are other times when we're just sitting there waiting for something to happen. And of the two, it seems to me the quiet time is the hardest. This is where people say, well, we just can't sit here and do nothing. We need to do something, even if it's the wrong thing. And that would be the wrong thing. I want to say to you tonight, thank the Lord. And what I mean is, I want you to learn to thank the Lord for the conditions that require you to be still. Zechariah 2:13 says, be silent. When my mother would say to us, be still, that's what she meant. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. The King James margin says it could read, for he is raised up out of the habitation of his holiness. The idea is God is rising to do a work. You be still. There is actually that situation where you and I get in God's way. Not that that's a problem for him. It's just that if you're doing it, he's not. If you step in, he says, okay, see how well you can do. I had a plan. It would have been better, but you go ahead and try it. See? Don't spoil the quiet hours by wishing them away. Waiting impatiently for the activity to start again. Some of the greatest works that have been done in God's work have been done from sick beds and from prison cells. Arguably, one of the greatest works in the English language was Pilgrim's Progress, which John Bunyan had the opportunity to write while he was in jail, jailed for believing what he believed. Pilgrim's Progress, though Benjamin Franklin didn't hold to biblical Christianity, yet Pilgrim's Progress was one of the books that excited him, and he, in his autobiography, he called his process of becoming who he became to be, he called that Pilgrim's Progress. He liked the idea of progress, I think, more than a pilgrim. Suppose you're sick in bed. Instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body, search for Christ's way in the very midst of those circumstances. Limitations can, in fact, be liberating when your strongest desire is not about you, but it's about living close to Christ. You remember how the Apostle Paul asked three times for some infirmity of the flesh to be, thorn in the flesh to be taken away. And God said no. And then he explained why. He said, Paul, in your weakness, I am made manifest. I've known people that suffered paralysis, suffered crippling disease, and yet stayed true to the Lord. And if I saw, you know, Joe over here staying true to the Lord, I said, well, that's good for him, you know. When I saw this guy staying true to the Lord, I said, well, that's amazing. Because I expected him to be bitter that his body was weakened, that he had problems. If your goal really is to live close to Christ, when he sets you aside with a weakened body, with a situation where you cannot be active, then say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time out. Thank you for this time alone with you. Think about it. Quietness and trust. The quietness that is opposite rebellion, that's opposite shaking your fist at God. Why have you done this to me? Quietness and then trust. These things enhance your awareness of Christ's presence with you. So don't despise these simple ways of serving Christ. Somebody said, when I was laid flat on my back, I found it was easy to look up. And that's where we ought to go. You may feel cut off from the activity of the world and of your desire and of your ambition, but your quiet trust makes a powerful statement in spiritual realms. It makes a powerful step of growth when you can take that inactivity and say, thank you, Lord, let's get even closer. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But sadly, Isaiah has to end that statement by saying, and ye would not. When God wanted them to be in quiet confidence, they would not. Again, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul talking about that time when God told him, no, I'm not going to heal you. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not looking so much for your strength to be shown as my grace in your weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul then says, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. You think of it then this way, that Christ's strength, Christ's power, show themselves most effective in weakness. So let us thank him. Thank him even for the conditions that require you to be still.